Channel open. Welcome back to Weekly Trek, a proud member of the Tricorder Transmission Podcast Network and presented in partnership with TrekCore.com. I am your host, Alex Perry.
What's today's date? The date.
Today's show was recorded on December 21st, 2020, and is current through the Star Trek Discovery episode Terra Firma Part 2, so beware of spoilers. All right, let's get into the show.
Good day, Voyager, and welcome to A Briefing with Neelix. It's a catchy title, isn't it?
Weekly Trek is a 30-minute news show covering the biggest stories from the Star Trek franchise. We are in a new golden age of Star Trek. There are 6 television shows in production, possibly more on the way, and enough merchandise to fill the Bajoran wormhole. So stick with me, and I'll help you sort the real facts from a lot of the Dominion propaganda that you'll find online. And wow, what a year it has been. I hope everyone is having a fabulous holiday season and is staying safe after one of the most challenging 12 months in memory. But setting aside most of the horrors of 2020, I want to take a look back at the year that was for Star Trek and also look forward to the year to come. But I can't do this alone, and my guest this week to go on a journey both back and forward through time, perhaps a little bit like Giorgio herself, is the co-host of the Snap Trek podcast and regular guest on this very show. It's Jen Tift. Jen, happy holidays and welcome back to Weekly Trek.
Oh, thanks, Alex. It's great to be on this journey with you. I appreciate you having me on again.
You know, we're about to use the Guardian of Forever. We're going to go back in time and then we're going to go forward in time, looking back over 2020 and then yay, 2021.
I love it. Are we worthy?
I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm not sure I necessarily need to, you know, live 3 months in the mirror universe trying to prove that I'm worthy to go back in time.
Right. I guess what we can assume that if Giorgio was worthy, that you and I would hopefully
yes.
be worthy as yes. well.
I'm a lot less rude than she is.
Right. Oh, no. Yeah. And I'm with you. We don't need to go back and relive 3 months in the span of a few minutes to figure that out.
Nope. Let's certainly not this
talk
year.
Talk about it. Yes.
Yep. No, thank you.
Definitely not.
All right. Well, we're going to skip what we're feeling good about Star Trek this week and talk about what we're feeling good about in Star Trek this year by diving straight into the year's top stories.
There's a war going on. And I'm a reporter.
So a little different this year. We tried this out last year and I liked it, so I'm doing it again. This is a 2020 year in review show. And rather than talking about news stories, which we'll get back to in January, there have already been a couple and we'll look forward to covering those on the first episode of next year. Wanted to kind of pose some questions, start a little bit of a discussion, have a conversation about 2020, and then maybe look forward and do what Weekly Trek does best, which is try and guess probably very badly what to look forward to in the year ahead. So I'll start with the biggest question. Jen, what was your best Star Trek moment of 2020?
There were so many.
There were a lot.
Yes, picking one is going to be tough, but I'll do an on-screen and an off-screen.
Okay.
Which one do you want first?
Let's do off-screen first.
Off-screen has to be the announcement of Janeway returning in Star Trek Prodigy.
My word.
Yeah. What an exciting moment. I really like the way, obviously, you know, we're not going to see the fruits of that until next year, probably. But the way they did the announcement, I thought was really nice. I like the heft they gave to that announcement. And when I heard Kate Mulgrew talking about it, it made me cry. And obviously a lot more things make me cry in 2020 than normally would. But I think I still would have been crying at that. And I just think it was just a really nice way they did it. And it's exciting. And I'm so excited that we're going to get to have her back. And that is definitely a highlight of the year for me off screen.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, COVID has taken so much from us. But actually, yeah. You know, that announcement of Kate returning to Star Trek, you know, it was virtual New York Comic Con, which if COVID had not happened and New York Comic Con had gone ahead and that was when the announcement was going to take place, I mean, it would have happened in Madison Square Garden and, you know, it would have been a packed house of 10,000 fans or whatever, but ultimately it would have been just for the people who were in the room. But the virtual New York Comic Con format sort of allowed them to do that announcement for everybody all at once, which, you know, massive bummer, obviously, that the convention didn't go ahead. But from the perspective of, like, you know, compare it to the Patrick Stewart moment when he announced he was returning to Star Trek at STLV 2018. I mean, if you were in the room, just a colossally incredible moment. But if you weren't in the room, you know, sort of created this feeling that, like, you'd sort of missed out on a moment a little bit. But for the Kate Mulgrew announcement, because it was virtual, everybody was experiencing at exactly the same time in exactly the same way. Nobody had a superior experience to anybody else. And so it really was sort of a communal moment for fans to enjoy for the whole of the fandom community and not just the ones who happen to be privileged enough to be in New York or in Las Vegas at a particular moment in time.
Absolutely.
All right, so what's your on-screen?
Okay, well, I mean, so many. We had so much Trek this year. So what do I pick? I have a long list of things here that I could pick, and I'm sure a lot of it will come up later in our discussion. So I'm gonna go with a general category of just the new characters that we've been introduced to this year. I mean, the legacy characters have been great. I'm sure we'll talk about that because that's been a huge moment in 2020. But the thing that I love is how these new characters have become such a big part of Trek lore and my enjoyment of Trek and such a big part of my Trek universe now. And it's hard to believe when I think about some of them that they've only been around this year. You know, I'm thinking of Raffi. I'm thinking of Rios and the holograms. You know, that's just this year. Let's talk about the Lower Decks gang, Mariner and Boimler and my beloved Samantha Rutherford. And everyone. And then even more recently in Discovery, Adira and Gray, these wonderful new characters that are such a big part already of Star Trek to me. And to me, that's been a little bit of, you know, like try to focus on the new is why I picked them as my Trek moment of the year. The old stuff is great and the callbacks are great and the legacy characters, oh my God, are great. But I'm really excited that we're getting these fresh new characters and I love them all.
Yeah, you are so right. This must be the biggest year in Star Trek history for new characters. I mean, right. You know, not least because we had two entirely new shows this year that debuted two entirely new casts. But then even on the third show, we got a bunch of new characters, right? Even on Discovery, we got Adira and Gray and Admiral Vance and Osira and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right. You know, there's a lot of new people. And Book. I forgot the Neelix of Star Trek Discovery.
Now explain to me how he's the Neelix of Star Trek Discovery.
Because he's the guide character, right? They've clearly over the last couple of episodes been set. You need a guy, you know, I have friends amongst races you don't even know exist, right? So like true. That is, yes. I mean, yeah, we don't know if he's a good cook yet, right? I haven't had the opportunity to try his Unglabusk, but...
He's getting more involved in the engineering than the hospitality side.
For sure.
But yeah, oh no, that totally makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, over a couple of episodes, there was even this one scene, and I forget which episode it was in, I think it was either Scavengers or the one that came right after, where, I think it was in Terraforma Part 1, actually, he goes up to Saru, and they're having this conversation, and he's like, you know, I can help you, because I can help you find all these things in this future that you don't know about, and like, places that you don't know, and people you don't know, and I was like, oh my God, this is Neelix and Janeway. Kes in the ready room at the end of Caretaker. He is the Neelix of Star Trek Discovery. He's better looking for sure. I mean, you know, that's no knock on Ethan Phillips, but you know.
Yeah, he is better looking. I love Book. He has so much depth to him. I feel like they've just barely scratched the surface. You know, we still have a lot to learn about him. And I love that his cause is conservation and animals. I want to know more about his special connection with the environment that he has, and he's just fascinating. And yeah, he is kind of their guide, kind of their Neelix, but it appears like he's got some tricks up his sleeve beyond that, and I can't wait to find out more. He's fascinating. He's one of the great additions in 2020 here, and I hope he sticks around. And I love him and Burnham. I ship them so hard. I ship it.
That is a great on-screen pick because there are so many new so many new characters we have this year. Okay, so I'll do an on-screen and off-screen one too since you did it. So I'll go, actually, you pick. Do you want on-screen or off-screen first?
Give me off-screen first.
Okay, off-screen, Star Trek Day.
Oh, yes. Great pick.
For the first time, they finally took advantage of the fact that September 8th is recognized as being the Star Trek Day. It's been a thing in the fan community for a long time. People get together, they watch The Man Trap. CBS finally decided to take advantage of it. They did. It wasn't quite a day's worth, but it was a long time. I mean, 4 or 5 hours worth of panels, virtual panels, obviously, COVID-19. But they were great. They had panels for every single show.
They were so good.
They had panels for the original series, Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, Enterprise. We got Scott Bakula back to do a panel for Enterprise.
That was such a great surprise.
So great. That was such a great panel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they did Discovery. They did Lower Decks. They had a trailer for Lower Decks. They had a trailer for season 3 of Discovery. They did a Picard panel. Like, there was just so much there to look forward to. They had product drops they did that day. They did special merchandise for it. Like, this is the kind of thing that we have sort of been begging CBS to do more of over the last few years. Certainly when companies like Disney prove that it can be done with something like Star Wars, that we finally, CBS have woken up to it and are like, you know what? This is a good idea. So I really hope they do something similar next year for Star Trek Day, not least because next year is the 55th anniversary of Star Trek. So we're at the midway point on the path to the next big, the 60 anniversary for the show. So that was a really, really cool...
It's multiple of five, it counts.
That was a really, really cool, fun experience. And it's one I hope that they do more of.
Yeah, and you know, like you were saying with the Janeway announcement too, it was the same thing. It was something that everybody could go to. You know, I wasn't just reading someone who was there, their description of what's going on, you know?
Right.
So, you know, I wasn't, you know, following along with Trek Course tweets, you know, while people got to hear what's going on, then we'd get the write-up later. Everybody got to listen and see it, and it was wonderful. And I really appreciate it too, that every series got some love, which was, it's always nice that there's no forgotten children in the franchise on that day.
Which could have been easy to do, right? I mean, Enterprise lasted for 4 seasons, you know, etc. Yeah, nobody wants an Enterprise panel, right? We won't bother. Got time to fill.
Yes, we do.
But yes, we do. And they managed to get most of the cast back. I mean, they got back Scott Bakula you know, they didn't manage to get William Shatner.
Oh yeah, that's true. Well, that's all right. That's good. That's all right. That's all right.
This is the second out of 3 episodes I've given a veiled knock on Shatner. I promise I love Kirk. He's the best.
I love Kirk. Yeah. Kirk, this is art and artist for me, because Kirk is a fabulous character. But yeah, I mean, honestly, seeing Scott Bakula too gave me hope that they were doing some time travel timey-wimey stuff. In Discovery, we could have an old time traveling Archer, right?
Well, if you heard my theory last week, I think my theory is the Section 31 show is going to be set during the Romulan War. So like prime Archer time.
Love it.
Oh, excuse me, prime Bakula time.
It's always Bakula time. Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. I remember that was one of my, I found a list the other day. I should post it. It's actually kind of funny, of things I was wishing that Enterprise would be. Like right before it came out.
Oh, interesting.
and it's really silly, you know, because I was like 22 or something like that when it came out. So it's just like ridiculous stuff. But one of them was I wanted to see the Romulan War. And I don't know, you know, I thought that we were going to get to a Romulan War arc.
Alas.
Even back then, you know, I was hoping for that. So I would love to see that. Yeah. Hey, and honestly, just get... Any way we get Scott Bakula, I am for it. I will suspend my disbelief in any time travel method or otherwise they use to get Archer back. I will take it.
Hell yes.
Yes.
So my best on-screen moment of the year is, I'm going all the way back to the beginning. What's not actually the beginning, should Children of Mars, but it's pretty much the beginning. The opening scene of the pilot of Star Trek Picard, where you open and it's a stellar scene and then you zoom in and it's the Enterprise D, and then you're going into the Enterprise D and you're in 10 forward and it's Picard and Data and they're playing poker and it's sort of, I mean, obviously that was our first kind
and
of...
And Blue Skies.
And Blue Skies is playing.
Oh, man.
And it's Brent Spiner back in the makeup, and it's the first time you're seeing Patrick Stewart actually playing Jean-Luc Picard again for 18 years. And first of all, Remembrance is one of my favorite Star Trek pilots of all of the pilots. I just think it's fab. Whatever you think about the rest of the season, I think the pilot for Star Trek Picard is unquestionably extremely high quality. And that one scene in which it sort of set up the rest of the year, right? Because you are seeing things that are different, but you're also seeing things that are very familiar. You get your first two legacy characters within very quick succession, and I'm not counting Jean-Luc Picard as part of that. I mean the Enterprise and I mean Data. They're both legacy characters in that opening shot. And then we had, you know, that was the first two legacy characters of a bunch of them to look forward to, right? And then we had Riker and Troy back in the season, and we had Hugh, and then you flash forward to Lower Decks and you've got Q, and you've got Riker and Troy again. And you've got 7 of 9, you know, like it's sort of set up this extremely fun year that I think none of us predicted was going to be that way. COVID disaster aside, we're just talking about Star Trek.
Right. Yeah, it was fun. That was a good, like all those people that we love, seeing them again. It's just pure fun and it feels good. And do all of them. But yeah, I love that pick, that first scene too, because I don't know if I honestly believed we were actually getting Jean-Luc Picard back on TV until that very moment, until you actually see it, you know? Like, I mean, I did intellectually, but you know what I mean? But it's just so like, wow, this is really happening. And what a perfect way to do that with something familiar yet, you know, dreamy, different, and kind of like when he woke up in Chateau Picard and the adventure begins. And it was a really nice way of doing it.
I 100% agree. Okay, let's switch gears and go from a big high to being a big bummer. What was, okay, saddest or most disappointing moment? I'll go first on this one. My saddest and most disappointing moment this year is a really obvious one. And it's COVID screwing up absolutely everything. Because...
It's 100%.
It screwed things up in Star Trek 2. And unfortunately, we haven't felt the impacts of that yet. So obviously, we were extremely blessed this year to get 33 weeks of Star Trek, 23 weeks in continuous Lower Decks and Discovery, and then 10 weeks of Picard.
And the Short Trek.
And the Short Trek, so it's 34 installments. But 2021, unfortunately, is going to be not quite what it was supposed to be. 2021 was supposed to be the year of Star Trek Picard season 2 beginning as early as January. Obviously, that's not going to happen. They might start filming season 2 in January. That's the current plan, or at least that was the plan as of a month ago before California's COVID cases went through the roof again. But it's certainly not going to be on the air in January of 2021. Strange New Worlds was supposed to have started up. Discovery was supposed to have started filming months earlier. So season 4 was going to be much closer, you know, on the way. Pretty much the only shows that have not been massively impacted by this are the animated shows, which means that in 2021, we will have to look forward to, at some point, Lower Decks season 2. We know that's fairly far along in production, so it might be late spring, early summer by the time that rolls around. It may not be as late as August, which was the premiere date for Lower Decks this year. We know we've got Prodigy coming at some point. 2021 is what they say, but we also don't have a great sense of like how far along in the process they are, and therefore that's something we're going to see in the spring, summer, fall, towards the end of the year. The problem, though, is that live action. So there's basically been, since Discovery Season 3 wrapped filming in February right before the lockdown, nothing has been filmed from a live action perspective until we got to November, which is when Discovery Season 4 went before the cameras. Now, because it's COVID, it's taken them much longer to film everything, and therefore your sort of usual timeline where you would think, okay, if they start filming in November and then they'll therefore be ready to go by December of next year, that's maybe not necessarily the case. It's also maybe the case that we know Alex Kurtzman said in an interview that a number of the shows he was working on, they had to cut the number of episodes from 13 to 10 because of the pandemic, increasing costs around PPE and things like that. I mean, it was like $200,000 an episode extra for all of the safety measures they were taking.
Right.
So Discovery Season 4 is going to be next live action after Discovery Season 3, because it's what's filming right now. But that's not going to be on the air until the end of 2021 at the earliest. So we thought we were ramping up for this year-round Star Trek, and now we have a year-long break because of what we've just experienced from COVID. So we've had a, it has been great to get us through this period, but we're now entering a really dry period for Star Trek, and it might be quite some time before live action Star Trek is back. We'll almost certainly have 10 episodes Lower Decks. That's 10 weeks worth. You know, let's say 10 episodes. We don't know how many episodes of Prodigy there'll be, but let's say it's 10. So that's 20. So still will be 20 weeks of Star Trek in some way, shape, or form.
I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at.
And that is nothing to sneeze at. But the sort of, we were expecting we would be arriving at this fabulous sort of moment in Star Trek history, and it's delayed until 2022.
Right. Yeah, there's only, as we're recording this, there's only 3 episodes left of Discovery. So for the past 20 weeks, I've had an episode of Star Trek to watch, a new episode of Star Trek to watch, and only that's only going to be for 3 more weeks. And then I'm prepared for the black hole of nothing for a long time. And, you know, and it's a bummer, but 2 things about it. One, it's coming at some point. You know what I mean? It's not.
Sure.
This isn't going to cause like the cancellation of anything. Like, we're going to get Discovery season 4. We're going to get Strange New Worlds. We're going to get Picard season 2. You know, it's coming, even if we have to wait for it. And 2, I want them to be safe. I want everyone to be safe. In particular, I worry about Picard filming because Patrick Stewart's in the age group, you know, that is of concern for COVID. Yep. And everyone else, you know, cast, crew, everyone involved. I want everyone to be safe. And I know they can. I know they wouldn't film if it wasn't safe. And I just, and if it takes longer for me to get track, it sucks. This whole thing sucks. But, you know, we'll do it. We'll wait. And then it'll just be that much sweeter when we do finally, when they finally get the schedule to, you know, basically year round track, and it will happen. And it will be glorious. It'll be a glorious day for the Empire.
Perhaps the only good thing about Patrick Stewart being in his 80s, which is how old he is the fact that he will be very close to the front of the line for a COVID vaccination. And so, you know, he might get his vaccination in January. I mean, Ian McKellen got vaccinated in the UK because they prioritized people in there who are older than 80 before they did healthcare workers, whereas here in the US, we did healthcare workers first. But then, you know, he's in the next population. So hopefully he'll get vaccinated and then we won't have to worry about it anymore.
That's a good point. Yes. Yeah, because I really spend an inordinate amount of time worrying about everybody getting COVID. And he's high on my list of, you know,
yep, of
people I worry about. But, you know, this is just unreal. But it will happen. It's just going to happen slower.
It's going to happen slower. We are about to have to enter the we must be patient period.
Yes. Okay. I did an on-screen and an off-screen again.
All right, let's do it.
I apologize. This is going to be a long podcast.
You whatever. Feel free to edit. No, it's the end of year one. Don't listen. They got nothing better to do. Okay. It's the holidays.
Okay. Yeah, right? Well, okay. So, well, then let's get these saddest moments over with so we can move on. but for my off-screen moment, I picked Kenneth Mitchell going public with his diagnosis of ALS.
Very, very sad.
Which is really, really sad. And he's such a gem as an actor and as a person. And I just love him so much. And my heart is with him and his family. And he's just, that one's a devastating moment that's happening. And we've been lucky enough to see him on Discovery and season 1 and 2. Lower Decks. It was wonderful to hear him on Lower Decks, and it hasn't happened yet. I don't know if it'll happen this year or the episode of Discovery that airs next year, you know, in January. But he did mention that there was a part for him in Discovery season 3 too, and we haven't seen him yet.
He did mention that, and I will say nothing more other than it is coming.
Oh, I'm so excited for that. Oh my gosh, he's just a ray of pure light, and he's awesome.
What an inspirational story.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's my off screen. So let's go back to fictional sadness to try to lighten
we could deal with that a little more easily.
Right. Yeah. So this one is my on screen sad moment. And this one, I had a little criticism. I usually don't have too many criticisms, but you dying in Picard.
Yes.
I found it.
Yes. We should clarify that. Your New Jersey accent got in the way there, Jen. You should clarify, it's not me dying, it's Hugh dying.
I always have trouble with his name.
I'm just kidding with you.
No, I do. Thank you for clarifying. Hugh Borg.
I am still very much alive.
Of the XB. Yeah, sorry. Although, how cool would it be to like be on Star Trek and die, like have a death scene?
Oh, that'd my so God. Cool. Yes.
I'd be like, kill sign my character. I get a cool death. Sign me up. So I found his return so fascinating. I find it a waste of a character. I don't see what they gained, you know, story-wise by having him die. And also just when it happened in the middle of Nepenthe, which is one of the most feel-good, I mean, we could have had Nepenthe as our moment of the year.
Right.
It was such a feel-good, wonderful episode. And in the middle of it, you know, for whatever reason, they unceremoniously killed off Hugh, the ex-Borg. And that was very disappointing to me.
Yeah, that was a dumb choice. The thing that like infuriates me the most about it was the fact that they then went to the trouble of establishing that Hugh and Seven of Nine had had a pre-existing relationship. But of course, yes! Now he's dead. You will never get to see them share the screen with each other.
Yeah, I keep hoping like maybe they'll do flashbacks of all this stuff, because maybe we'll get to see Hugh again. We'll get to see, this is my real dream if we're dreaming about things, Icheb. But you know, like give me a flashback of the, I apologize for not remembering the actor's name that they have and just that one horrible scene playing Icheb. Flashback. Let's see him. Let's see, you know, like I think you could do a lot if you have actors and characters that you love that you want to return. You don't have to just have like evil twins come, you know what I mean? Like right. You can find ways to bring them, tell stories to bring them back, and that would be lovely if we did see Hugh again.
It's Star Trek, anything's possible, hopefully. Fingers crossed. Okay, enough with the bummers. What was your most surprising moment from 2020?
I have so many. Okay. So again, on screen, off screen. Which should I do first?
Let's do on screen first this time.
Okay. So on screen, I have two. I'm sorry.
No, go for it.
What?
It was a long year.
It was a long year. And one is just in general, Lower Decks surprised the hell out of me.
Yep.
I had no idea. Lower Decks is my favorite Trek of the year. I adore it. It's a joy in my life and I'm obsessed with it. And I had no idea I would feel that way. I mean, I thought, you know, Star Trek is going to be good, you know, or I'll like it, but I had no idea that it would be so much up my alley the way it was. I'm not like usually a fan of like adult animation in general. Like the only one I really like is Futurama.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happens that this is more similar to that than some of the ones that I don't care for as much. But it's just pure Star Trek. It's pure joy. And it's hilarious. And it's so unbelievably immersed in the canon. And it's just a delight. And I love it. But I was surprised by that. That was a surprise.
I mean, I too was completely surprised by it. I mean, I've talked on previous episodes and I'm not going to go over it again and again and again. But like, you know, I was sort of suspicious of the show before it came out. And like, even in the run up to it, I was a little bit like, I don't know. And then, you know, we didn't get a trailer for it until like a week before. And once I saw the trailer, I really started to turn around on it. But, you know, up until that point, it was very much like, is this something that's really going to work? And hell yeah, it worked. It worked so well. I mean, there are loads of people now who would say that Lower Decks was their favorite Star Trek for 2020 for a hell of a good reason, which is that it was a great show.
It was. And it came at just the right time, too. I think we just all needed a laugh.
Yes.
In this heinous year. And it was just perfect. It was the perfect Trek at the perfect time for me.
Well, especially a Star Trek laugh, too. I mean, Picard, very heavy.
Yeah.
Discovery, very heavy.
Right.
After
yes.
two seasons of being
right.
very heavy.
Right.
So, like, we've had heavy Star Trek
which I
since
love.
2017.
Yeah.
Which I love. And
yeah.
I love it, too. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it was nice to have something to sort of break that up a little bit and maybe go back
yes,
into some of the
sure.
more, you know, absurd episodes of Star Trek, like your... You know, Cupids and
right.
Trouble with Tribbles and all of that, where it's like low stakes and it's funny and it just, you
right.
know, rather than it being world ending, galaxy destroying type stuff. So what's your off screen?
Okay, wait, I have one more on screen. I just have to mention this really
quick.
Oh yeah,
quick. Go for it.
Because the inclusion of Zora, the emergence of Zora in season 3 of Discovery, I've, you know, since Calypso came out, I've been hoping that somehow it would fit into the canon of Discovery and that they wouldn't forget that little piece. And they didn't. And it's happening and it's very exciting. But it really, it surprised me. I didn't know that it was coming when it did, you know? Like all of a sudden, there's the scene, you know, with Saru talking to the computer and all. of a sudden you hear that beautiful melodic voice of Zora's, and my jaw just dropped, and it's such a lovely, surprising moment. So I had to mention that too.
Yeah, I mean, people have been wondering since the end of Discovery Season 2 how and whether Calypso was going to factor into the series. And you know, there's still lots of questions about that. And lots of people have, you know, sort of theorized about the Calypso discovery being responsible for the burn, etc. And yeah, that's been a really fun part of Discovery. And, you know, that sort of ties into the thing that sort of has surprised me the most this year, which is how much I have been enjoying Discovery's jump into the 32nd century.
Yeah, me too.
And also how the show that it has become was not the show that I was expecting, even up until like episode 4 of the season. I put this in a review that I wrote. They sort of were setting up the season, you know, based on what they were telling you about what the season was going to be. It felt very Star Trek Voyager-y.
Yeah.
Right? Like it was...
That's what I thought too. Yeah.
It's a ship alone, stranded in the future. Nobody's familiar, you know, no familiar things, no home, no place to go, no command structure to fit into. It was just going to be sort of Discovery on its own, bopping around the 32nd century and, you know, whatever was left of whatever, because the Federation was gone. And no one knows where to find it. And then by episode 5, when they found Starfleet, it just sort of all flipped on its head. And now it's not Star Trek Voyager in my mind anymore, even though it does have a Neelix. It is Star Trek Enterprise, because it's about being in this quite unwelcoming, unfamiliar part of space, but also you are part of something and you're trying to build something, which is you're trying to build the Federation back better. And so I actually love that. Like, I'm loving seeing a new take on Star Trek Enterprise in a way that I was like, okay, well, I saw Star Trek Voyager and I felt like they sort of, you know, kind of played that idea out. But a new Enterprise? Sure, sign me up. I'm all for it.
Yeah, and it fits. Like now, you know, looking back, I thought the same thing, that was going to be Voyager. And that's, you're totally right. It totally is the same premise as Enterprise, basically, in a good way. But I think more like Strange New Worlds is probably going to be more Voyager ish and Discovery more Enterprise ish.
Right.
Now that I think about it, it fits better. And yeah, I'm with you. I've been really enjoying the trip to the future here. It's fascinating. It's thrilling. And it's really interesting. And I like the new world they're in. Georgiou said, before she stepped into the Guardian, she said, this world is more Terran than your world was, which I thought was an interesting foreshadowing of just hardships to come, you know, which I might just be the Emerald Chain, might, you know, or might be some new another, you know, varied enemies. But I like the grittiness of it. But it's still like it's pure distilled explorer, you know, like Discovery explorership and collective family of, gosh, they're like castaway is not the word. Because they're not like maroon. I guess they are kind of marooned in the future, but it doesn't feel that way. Like, right. Like, because they still have Starfleet guiding them, telling them what to do, where to go. And it's an interesting comparison to how Archer had to answer to the Vulcans and and Starfleet. And it's interesting. Yeah, that's a good pick for surprise. And then I do have one off-screen pick that I think,
yes.
This one's, I think, important to mention. My off-screen pick of what surprised me are the fabulous new Trek actors who turn out to be actual fans of Star Trek.
This is a great one.
Fans of Star Trek. I'm talking like Tawny Newsome, Dominic Burgess, Noah Averback Katz. What a delight. And I feel like I'm living it with them. You know, it's palpable. Their genuine delight in being involved in this franchise that they were fans of first. And that's so cool. And I love it. And it was one of the bright spots of 2020.
It's manna from heaven in some ways. I mean, it's all, you know, everybody always gets asked, were you a Star Trek fan before you got cast on the show? And anytime someone answers like, nah, I never really watched it before, but you know, I'm happy to be here now. It's like, okay, well, you know, but then to have a...
or they like pretend they were, but it's really like, yeah, I saw a few episodes.
Oh yeah, they're like,
when I was a kid.
It's like, fan growing up. I loved Spork and, you know, Dr. McCow, and yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, it's like we can tell you're just trying to be polite.
Yeah, right. You're trying to be polite, or you are, you know, right. Just, you're looking
but
at
these guys have, yourself. But these guys have bona fide fan chops. It's so great to see.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, Noah Averback Katz put up that slideshow of pictures of himself. I guess his parents were massive Trekkies, his mom so particularly. And it's like him in a little Starfleet uniform at a creation convention, no less, because you can always tell a creation convention.
Oh, I love it.
At these creation conventions, doing exactly the same thing that, you know, you or I have done at any Star Trek convention we've ever been to, you know, carrying around the thing you want to get signed by the actor that you want to meet in that circumstance. And now, you know, he's a recurring guest star on Star Trek Discovery and married to one of the main cast.
Married to, right? Who is also delightful. It appears off screen as well as on screen. Just great people. And yeah, it's so fun to watch. And even it was like set to Faith of the Heart. All slideshow. So funny. Yeah, it's just so nice to see that like people who you know really appreciate, mm-hmm. you know, what they have, and that's so great.
I mean, Dominic Burgess was on an episode of Trek Ranks.
How cool was that?
Like, how much of a big fan do you have to be an actor on Star Trek and go and get a request to be on for free, go onto a show where you're going to, you know, come up with a list of your five favorite episodes doing whatever? Amazing. Incredible.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You can't just walk on to that one. You have to.
No. Like, no. You can't fake it either, right? You know,
yeah, you can't fake it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. I was a big fan growing up. Yeah, whatever.
And Noah's been doing a lot of podcasts too. And he was on
a lot.
Yeah. He was on Trek Profiles and mm-hmm. 10 Backward and a lot of others. And Tawny Newsome does the official Star Trek podcast.
Right.
And if you listen to it, like, she is legit.
She's totally. Fan. 100%.
Which is amazing. And that podcast, it turns out to be amazing too. That's another bright spot of 2020 is that we finally have an official podcast. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
Yeah.
I really like the chemistry between.
And the two hosts.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I wish I could think of a food pun because Paul F. Tompkins' character.
Yeah. Dr. Mabiglia. Something like that.
The big bird. I love it. I want to see more aliens in Lower Decks you can take advantage of that you wouldn't see live action.
Carol, you're being a real pineapple right now.
Oh, and his voice is so perfect for that.
On Trek Ranks, you would have gotten audio drop-in of Paul F. Tompkins reading that line. On Weekly Trek, we're a little more budget, and you get my impression of Paul F. Tompkins delivering that line.
It works. Oh, that's great.
Okay, bottom line it for me, Jen. Was this a good year for Star Trek?
This was a great year for Star Trek.
This was a great year for Star Trek.
Arguably, the only good thing about this year at all was Star Trek.
It was the only good thing about this year.
Literally, this was the only good thing. No, but I mean, you said how many weeks of Star Trek did we get? 30,
yeah, all right, let me break it down. We had 33 weeks of Star Trek. We had 34 new installments. We had three shows. We had one new show announcement. One new show was teased. We got a name for a show. We got multiple trailers for various different shows. We got a ton of books. Like, I have a giant pile of reference books that have been delivered over the last couple of months. Got a bunch of great novels. Got a bunch of great merchandise. Like, this was a pretty great year for Star Trek when everything else was so terrible.
Yeah, it's one of the only things keeping me afloat here. Yeah. Three more weeks episodes. I can, you know, then I'll just watch them all again. Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, exactly. One a week, 33 weeks, and then it'll be ready. You'll be ready to start up again.
Right. Recreate the only good thing about this year. Yeah, it's a great year. We are extremely lucky to be Star Trek fans right now.
All right, so that was 2020. Now, let's do what we always do on Weekly Trek and guess really badly about what's going to happen in the future.
You make some very good points, Captain. But it's still all speculation and theory.
So, looking ahead to 2021, I mean, obviously, we've talked about, you know, some of the challenges there are going to be. Things are not going to come along quite as quickly as we wanted them to. Hopefully, we're all going to get vaccinated soon. But, I mean, from a Star Trek perspective, what are you looking forward to from next year?
I mean, literally just Star Trek on TV again. I got spoiled. I don't care which one. Honestly, I'm particularly looking forward to having more Lower Decks installments. Because they're so short. I only got 10 little short episodes. I want more. I'm ready for more. Give them to me in 2021, please. So yeah, I think most of this Lower Decks is what I'm mostly looking forward to. Most of all, I would say.
I think it was my episode with Ryan T. Husk where we were talking about how in regular Star Trek episode terms, we've only gotten like 5 episodes of Lower Decks.
Right?
Right. Like if they were 40-minute episodes, then you cut the season in half and it's only 5 episodes. Which to think about what they accomplished in, I mean, what was episode 5 of The Next Generation? Probably a really terrible episode. Frankly, the same for Deep Space Nine.
Naked Now or something? Yeah.
I think it was A Counter Far Point, Naked Now, Last Outpost, Lonely Among Us. No, Code of Honor.
You're good.
I think it's maybe Lonely Among Us. I want to say maybe it's Lonely Among Us.
Oh, and I'm looking up Netflix right now.
No, maybe Lonely Among Us is 6. No, it's Justice. I bet you it's Justice.
Is it Justice? Let me see. Almost there. Counter at Firepoint, Naked Now, Code of Honor, Last Outpost, Where No One Has Gone Before.
Where No One Has Gone Before. Okay. All right. That actually was a good episode. Okay, then Deep Space Nine's first season, 5th episode. I'm sure it was terrible. It was probably like Vortex or something. God, what a dreadful episode. And none of the characters had established themselves.
That's really funny.
You didn't know who any of these people were, but not for Lower Decks.
Captive Pursuit was the 5th or... Deep
Space. Okay, also a decent episode.
I am literally in love with every character on Lower Decks. I don't know how they did it, but I love Mariner. I love Boimler. I mentioned Samantha Rutherford, my heart. Tendi. Oh my God. And even the bridge crew is incredible. We lost one and I was really, really sad about it. Like I was really affected by that death and it's only 5 episodes in, you know? So they really accomplished a lot in a short amount of time in building that world. I love it.
You mentioned the return of Kate Mulgrew as your best moment for 2020. The thing I'm most looking forward to for 2021 is seeing Janeway back in Star Trek Prodigy. Yes. I'm really looking forward to that. I have no idea how they're going to do it. We obviously don't know much about the show other than group of lawless teens find a derelict starship and use it to find meanings, morals, and messages or whatever the little tagline for the show is. And it stars Kate Mulgrew, but I don't care. That's enough for me. I'm all in.
Right. Yeah, same here. I'm really interested in 2021 to see what the animation style for that's going to be. There's so many different ways they can go with that. And that's going to be interesting. I want to know what time period they're in. What form are we getting Janeway in? I want to know. So yeah, yep. I'm very, very much looking forward to that too.
I'm also looking forward to a return to normality in some form, right? Like Picard season 2 starting to film, Strange New World starting to film, things starting to get back to normal. I would love to go to a Star Trek convention in 2021. I really would love to go to a convention and see people other than myself every day. Right. That would be nice, but I think it is fabulous that Discovery season 4 is filming. That has given me a great deal of confidence that like normality will return, but I'd like just a little more. I'd like one more show to go before the camera and then I'll be like, okay, normal Star Trek, or at least what we were hoping for normal Star Trek is on its way back.
Yeah, I'm hoping for return to normality in every sense of the word, including Star Trek. But we'll get there. We'll get there.
We will get there. We will get there. We will get there. We will get there. Do you anticipate any surprises next year?
Well, we're definitely going to see more legacy characters. And I think there might be some surprises. I know, you know, not just the ones that we know of and that we assume are coming. Like we know Guinan's coming. We know, you know, and we assume that we know Geordi's coming, right? I think they said, or... We assume.
LeVar said he was in talk. Yeah, we assume.
Yeah, we assume there's going to be joy. We're going to assume eventually we'll see Beverly Crusher. We'll see, you know, we assume we'll see it. But I think there's going to be some surprises with legacy characters. Some ones that we haven't seen. And that could be Picard. That could be Lower Decks. I think Lower Decks is an arena where they could throw some in that might be surprising. Based on all the random references they've had in the first season. You know, I have no idea what a little corner of the Trek universe they're going to pull from in season 2. I also think that there's going to be another show announcement in 2021.
Interesting.
I think. And all the Star Wars announcements really gave me hope for this. You know, like, if they could literally put 10 shows in production, and just have an announcement with like randomly 10 shows set in the Star Wars universe, we could do that. So,
okay, I'm not kidding you. I have written down on the screen in front of me, if Disney can announce 10 new shows, that means there might be more Star Trek on the way.
Exactly. Yes. Well, our minds are always on track, even when it's wars. Uh-huh. That's so funny. Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, we were still, there was talk, wasn't there, like, you know, Starfleet Academy and all kinds of ideas. There could be more. There could be another.
This is not idle speculation.
Yeah.
Flashback to January before the world ended. I know it feels like 5 years ago, but flashback to January in the press tour for Star Trek Picard, Alex Kurtzman tells TrekCore that there are two shows in development that haven't been announced. AKA Ooh. Section 31's not one of them, because that one, they'd already talked about that one. Two that nobody knows anything about. A month later, they announced Strange New Worlds. So that was obviously one of them.
Yeah.
But that means there's still one, he said, one that left. They were working on, which hasn't been announced. And I think it is realistic to think that at some point in 2021, they probably will announce it, you know? And I think because yay. You might think like, oh, well, another show to add on top of all the shows they're already doing. But we sort of know that Star Trek Picard's not going to last longer than 3 seasons, right? I mean, that's sort of what they've telegraphed right. from very early on in production. This is not a 7-year show. This yeah. is a 3-year show. And
right.
when they gave the show a second season pickup, the Hollywood Reporter said that they had heard that the show had been soft greenlit for season 3, and that the plan was for them basically to film seasons 2 and 3 back to back and then just be done with it, that would be the end of the show. And who knows if that's still the plan because of everything that has changed, but like, you know, that's not too far away. And if you announce a show next year to go on the air in 2023, right, like that could be the one that replaces Star Trek Picard right. after the end of that show. And eventually we are going to start to see some of these shows kind of cycle out, a new show cycle in, right? Like the Disney right. model is they're doing a bunch of these limited shows, right? It's just gonna be one season of 8 episodes, and that's gonna, you know, that's what the Obi-Wan Kenobi show is gonna be. Star Trek could do the same thing, right? Start doing some of these more limited shows where you're not sort of setting up for a Discovery style, like, oh, this could go on for literally forever, but one where you are saying, all right, you know, we're gonna do more of sort of a miniseries style than we are mm-hmm. an open-ended television show. So I right. think it's absolutely on the cards that we'll get at least one more show announcement in 2021. And honestly, I'd be really surprised if we didn't.
I'm very excited. It's an exciting prospect. Keep them coming.
Yep, keep them coming.
I don't worry about franchise fatigue at all, because, I mean, I think it's more like you get it while you can, you know, get it while the getting's yep. good. And right now the market's there and they want to do it, and I am here for it. And yeah, and if you do, I mean, they're still spread out. Like, even, I don't know, like, it wasn't like we had Picard and Lower Decks and Discovery this year, but it wasn't like they were right on top of each other.
No.
You know, I can focus on one at a time and not, you know, and wait, still be waiting for the others. And they're different enough that it doesn't feel like it's repetitive in any way. Right. They're so different. So keep them coming.
This is why what they're doing now is very different from what they were doing in the late 90s, early 2000s, right? You had Deep Space Nine, you had Voyager, you had Enterprise. People said you did all those too close together. People got tired of it and they stopped watching it. And now you're turbocharging that by announcing all these shows and having Star Trek year round and this, that, and the other. But the reality is those three shows had pretty much the same creators, the same writers, the same production designers. They just sort of traded amongst all these different shows. And so they were quite samey. You cannot compare something like Star Trek Lower Decks with Star Trek Discovery and say that you're getting the same experience
right.
from both of these two different shows, right? They are very different. And I think as long as they do that, as long as they mix up the creative teams, as long as they mix up the perspectives and the voices and the sort of genres of each of these shows, that, you know, I think you're not necessarily going to hit franchise fatigue, because if they are different enough, you know, people are going to kind of go in and out of the ones they want to watch and the things that resonate with them. And there's going to be lots for lots of different kinds of people to enjoy in the process as well.
Right. Yeah. Every new show is also bringing in new audiences, and each one has a different audience. You know, there's obviously going to be the people, you know, like us, that are going to watch all Star Trek all the time, you know, give it to me, whatever. But it's bringing in new people. And there are some people who like, oh, Picard looks interesting, or other, you know, but might not be into Lower Decks. My sister watched Picard and she enjoyed it. And then she watched the first episode of Lower Decks and she's like, this is too much Star Trek for me. And I laughed. I'm like, that's fair. You know what I mean? But then there's someone who, another person who might really like Lower Decks, you know, who might just be like a fan of that kind of adult animation, but might not enjoy Picard. And it's great that they're trying to appeal to all kinds of casual fans, not just the hardcore Trekkies, and not just trying to get a general new audience. They're trying to pick as many people as they can based on, you know, all the different shows they're doing. And it's wonderful. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's great. And I think we have more to look forward to in 2021. I think that's for sure. But in the realm of things we may not have to look forward to, okay, I asked this question of Thad last year when we did the year in review session with him. And I think we said the answer was yes, and it turned out to be no. I mean, for a whole bunch of reasons. But will 2021 be the year that the next Star Trek movie is announced?
I'm still going with no. There's no way they're going to get their shit together on that. I'm sorry. There's just too many random, like, oh, they're working. It might be this project. It might be that project. It might be that one. And it's just like, it just sounds like there's general ideas being thrown about, but nothing seriously in the works yet. So, I don't anticipate them being able to make a decision on that anytime soon.
Yeah. Will 2021 be the year the next Star Trek movie is announced? It should be. Unfortunately, yeah. Probably won't be. Right?
That's a good, like, way to put it. Yeah.
That's been our experience of this for the last 5 years. And, you know, unfortunately, I don't see that changing anytime soon. I mean, it sounds like Noah Hawley got close, right? He had a script. He said about a month ago that they were pretty close to kind of getting around to, you know, moving into kind of pre-production and starting to get the wheels moving beyond just like someone sitting in front of a computer tapping away on a keyboard, but that Paramount pulled the plug on it. And now he's off to other things. He's off making this Alien show for FX. So he's not going to be doing the next Star Trek movie. So they are sort of back to square one in some ways.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, because I mean, they paved the way in that one scene in Terra Firma Part One, where we meet a Kelvin verse native.
Your.
Which, and I mean, that just opens the door to so many possibilities for different, you know, movies you could do, different ideas you could come up with. I mean, now it kind of makes sense that George Kirk and Chris Hemsworth, you know, form could come back, you know, because there's more universes and more and time travel, and you could come there's so many different things like that just opens the door to so many different. You could do a temporal war movie, you know, if you wanted to. I'm hoping we see something. You know, they keep bringing it up. They, you know, that better be leading to something. So, you know, there's so many different, and I just think they just don't, you know, I mean, the Tarantino thing was a dead end, and I just think they just don't know what to do with it. They have this great property and they just don't know what to do with it yet. I don't know what will change for them to figure it out, but it's not going to be soon.
Yeah, sadly, I think you probably said it best. And with, you know, 2021 being a difficult, you know, it's going to take a while for things to get back to normal. I don't think this is one of those things they're desperately willing or ready to push out really quickly. And so I think it's going to be 2022 at the earliest before we know what's going on with that, which means it's going to be 2024 at the earliest before the next Star Trek movie's on the big screen, which will be 8 years after Star Trek Beyond.
Well, that's a bummer.
All right, well, Len, let's go back to talk about happier things. Is there anything you particularly want to see from Star Trek next year?
Well, I am particularly greedy, and I would love for them to keep the ball rolling on the short treks.
More short treks.
I love that format. More short treks. Come on. Do it. I mean, it's just unlimited possibilities with the short treks. And I just think I just love them so much. And that's the one thing we haven't heard any announcement either way. They haven't announced more short treks, but they haven't said like, no, we're done. We're not doing any more short treks. So it could still happen, you know. I'd like to hear some more about that. That's my wish.
I think if the pandemic had not happened, I actually would have said the short treks would be one thing that maybe they would be over, because you have so many shows up on the air by that point that like making the little short stories, there's not necessarily a space on the schedule for them. However, with the pandemic, like if you're looking to get, you know, new content out more quickly, you know, if you want to get something on by the fall, shoot a few short treks, you know, they don't take nearly as long in post-production. Your effects are much, much more limited. And therefore, you know, that is the kind of thing that maybe by the summer you could be in a position to do. So I think they would be foolish not to consider it, honestly, and do a whole new slate of short treks that will help people keep those, frankly, CBS All Access subscriptions ticking over longer in 2021 until Discovery season 4 is ready to go.
Yeah. And I mean, just do weird things. Take another page out of what they're doing with Star Wars, you know, and just do weird things. And Short Treks is just the perfect way. They could do literally anything. And I think they should. I don't know. I want them to. I guess I don't know enough about the, you know, business side.
Yeah.
But I just love it. I love that idea and I love what it brings. And then think about it. Like, I don't think Zora was the plan all along for our 1031, you know, ship.
Right.
That wasn't the plan all along, but it was from a great idea from Michael Chabon, Short Trek, that led them to it. And I think it's going to be a great thing for Discovery. I think it's a beautiful layer in the new season. And that's cool. Like, this is the kind of like weird things that can come out of that, you know?
Yep. Oh, I think that's exactly right. You know, it was a cool little idea and they were like, oh, hey, that was cool and people liked it. Let's find a way to, more with it. I absolutely don't think that Calypso was part of some master plan that resulted in Star Trek Discovery season 3 and now moving into season 4 and beyond. I think when they said when it came out, oh, this was just a fun way of doing the Odyssey in sort of a Star Trek-y format and making it a bit weird and different, I think that was right. And then they were like, oh, actually there's something really cool here, and now they've built all the rest of it around it. But a master plan, I don't think so. I think it was to your point, it was just something weird they wanted to do, and then they were like, oh, this was really successful.
And then you have things like you have like Mike McMahon wrote
Escape Artist,
which was wonderful. And then he went on to Lower Decks, which is amazing. And I just think there's just like makes it deeper and adds to the universe. And there's cartoons and I just love it. I love it. They could do a musical. I know they're talking about like
black and white.
We get a musical, black and white. Yeah. Oh man. Any time period. And you know, oh man. So cool.
And it's also a nice way of them, and they've done this where for them to kind of try out new creatives, you know, who maybe they're sort of younger or not as far along in their career, that they can try out and see if they work, and then, you know, get sort of move them up to the big leagues, like Nami Melomad, who was the composer for Q&A, the first of the season 2 Short Treks, is now the composer for Star Trek Prodigy. And that's because she did a great job on that Short Trek.
Right.
First female composer in Star Trek history. Weirdly.
Yeah, sadly. That took that long, but that's awesome. And everything I hear about Prodigy. That's great. So what about you? What are you?
Well, that's my pick.
That's your pick?
I want to love Prodigy. I'm excited to love Prodigy. I know it's going to be a kid's show, so I know it's going to be a bit different. But, you know, I like the Star Wars kid's show, so I'm not, you know, kid's show adverse or anything. But I want to love it. I think it's a great idea. The fact that they're having Kate Mulgrew come back is a great hook for people like me who, you know, are not necessarily the target audience, but are the big Star Trek fans who are going to watch everything and so, you know, want to find a way in. And Kate Mulgrew is a great bridge between people like me and the kind of kids that, you know, they want to reach through doing this show. And so I pray and hope and believe, because of the fantastic creative team that they have behind it, that Prodigy will be a smashing success. And I'm ready to totally root for it. I think it's a fabulous idea and I can't wait to see it become a reality.
Oh, I assume it's going to be wonderful. I'm in a position where I unfortunately watch a lot of children's programming because I have three young ones in my house, but the form has been elevated to an art. It's not like, I mean, when I was a kid, you know, you watch He-Man and G.I. Joe and like all these, which I love, you know, don't get me wrong. I love He-Man so much, but it's just a glorified commercial for action figures, you know, but it boils down to it. But now that they take it seriously, like the children's shows, they're definitely still for kids. It's not like the Pixar movies, you know, like Pixar movies are for kids, but they're also for adults. It's not like that. It's more them taking children seriously and giving them deeper themes and deeper meanings and, you know, but with beautiful animation and just amazing writing. And like, there's some really, really good gems out there. And based on the team that they have, on other cartoons I've seen, like the Hodgman brothers are incredible. The Ninjago show that they did before is really, really, really good. And they're incredible. And I'm really, really hopeful for Prodigy. Like, I think it's going to be a kids show, like you said. it is going to be a kids show, but I think it's going to be an elevated Star Trek kids show, and it's going to be great. And I'm excited. And Kate Mulgrew, isn't it? Yay. I never would have guessed. Oh, it's so great.
Well, here is looking forward to, hopefully, a fantastic 2021. But before we depart this week, a quick programming note. Weekly Trek has been weekly for almost every week of the last 23 weeks of Star Trek. But earlier this year, when we were between Star Trek Picard and the beginning of Star Trek Lower Decks, we did go to more of a every other week schedule. And beginning next year, we may return to a more infrequent schedule as we wait for the next Star Trek show to air. I always want to make sure that if I'm asking for 40 minutes approximately of your time to listen to an episode of Weekly Trek, that there's actually news to share to make it worth your while. And if there's no news, I don't want to do an episode because I don't want to waste your time. So bear with me while we move. We talked about in this episode, we're potentially going into a bit of a lull in the sort of Star Trek world for a while until these shows get spinning back up again and we get closer to new episodes being on the air. So bear with me while we move through this and back towards the dream of year-round Star Trek. But please know, when there is news to report, Weekly Trek will definitely have an episode. If there isn't an episode that week, it just means that there wasn't enough news for us to bother asking for your time that week to listen. And on a more personal note, I am approaching my 2-year anniversary of hosting the show, which has been an absolute blast. And I am looking forward to continuing to host the show and bringing you all the Star Trek news that's fit to talk about for as long as they are making it.
We're very lucky to have you, Alex.
Thank you.
Do a great job.
Thank you. Do you have a theory or a wish for Discovery, Picard, Lower Decks, or the future of the franchise that you'd like to share? Tweet them to me at Weekly Trek or email them to me at weeklytrek@thetricordertransmissions.com, and I might feature your theory in a future episode. Well, that's all the time we've got for this episode of Weekly Trek. Thank you so much to my guest, Jen Tift, for joining me today. Jen, how can people contact you if they want to continue the conversation?
Best way to contact me is on Twitter. I'm at edetquarks. And if you want to check out my podcast, it's on Twitter at SnapTrek, wherever you listen to podcasts.
And you can find this show on Twitter at Weekly Trek and me at Alexander T. Perry. And if you enjoy the show, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on your podcast player of choice. And please check out some of the other great shows on the Tricorder Transmissions. And if you like our shows, please also consider becoming a Patreon of Tricorder, which you can find at patreon.com/thetricordertransmissions. And lastly, if you're looking for Star Trek news on the internet, I hope you will turn to trekcore.com. Well, thank you, Jen. Thank you to all of my listeners. And until next week, Happy New Year and live long and prosper.